Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. We're going to look in the Word of God today and just look up some different scriptures. And yesterday, as we said, according to one group, they believed that Jesus was going to come back. And some of them believed that it was going to be the end of the world. I just say this up front. Anytime somebody comes on the news or, you know, publicizing stuff like that, there's a pretty good chance he's not going to come back. Because he said, in such an hour as you think not, he's going to come back. But anyway, we're going to look at some scriptures today. And I thought it would be a good thing to look at some things concerning what Jesus said about the second coming, and what Paul said about it as well. And I've entitled the message today, Cheer Up, It's Not the End of the World. How many times have you heard people say stuff like that? You know, they're going through something that's discouraging. I imagine some of his followers today. I was reading last night, about 11 o'clock last night. I just went on the internet again just to see what what happened to his crowd. And they said he kept himself closed away for most of the day. And later on in the evening, he phoned he's got a daughter in New Zealand. So when it was 6:26 over there, her time, because suppose his prediction was that everywhere in every time zone around the planet, at 6 o'clock exactly, there's going to be a major earthquake, and it's all kind of, you know, it's going to just go right around the world. And there's going to be an earthquake. He said, like the Bible talks about, earthquake has never been seen before on such a scale. And he had the people believing that. And a lot of his people went out and sold their houses, sold their vehicles, sold everything, and put it into making up large signs. They did up over 20 motorhomes and transport trucks and everything else, and put all kinds of big signs on the side of it. You know, May 21st, 2011. The world is going to come to an end, or Jesus is coming back, and all these different things. And so he called his daughter in New Zealand. And they said his voice was very low, and he said, I really don't know what happened. He said, I don't understand why it's not happening. And then he said, well, he said, it's still it's not 6 o'clock yet here in America. He said, maybe it'll hit when he said it gets here. And you know as well as I do, 6 o'clock came and went all around the globe, and nothing happened. And these things prop up from time to time. People do stuff like that. And as I said, we're going to look at some different scriptures this morning. The fellow that came up with this idea this time is Harold Camping. And if you look at him on television or on the internet, you can look it up and see him. Looks very distinguished. He's 89 years old now, he said, but he looks very distinguished. He's got a Bible that's well-worn and everything else, and you think, well, if anybody knows anything about Scripture, it's this fellow, you know. And but how he came up with the idea, this is what he said, or this is how he came up with the idea of May 21st, 2011. He went back and he said he discovered, well, let's pray first before we look into this, because get into it so far and all of a sudden I realize we're halfway through it and haven't prayed. So let's pray first. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we just ask as we look at this question this morning and look at these things, Lord, that you would just enlighten our understanding. And Father, help us, Lord, to have a solid foundation of what we believe and what Jesus said. And just guide us and direct us and enlighten our understanding, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. But anyway, this fellow, we just back up a little bit. 1994, on September the 15th, he made the same prediction, which was the Jewish Day of Atonement. Then that never worked out. He changed it to September 25th, which is the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. That never worked out. He changed it to October the 4th, which, Pharisees concerned, was the actual birth date of Jesus. That never worked out. He jumped into the next year. December 25th, which is the traditional Christmas, the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. He figured it would happen on that day. That never happened. Then he jumped into the next year, February 25th, the Jewish Feast of Purim. And then he went into May 3rd, 1996. And then he went on some other things. But anyway, they asked him, how did he come up with this May 21st, 2011? And this is his logic. As far as he's concerned, he said he figured it out with carbon dating and everything else. He figured that Noah went into the ark in the year 4990 B.C., 4,990 years B.C. And he said, the Bible talks about, he took places all over Scripture. The Bible talks, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. So he said, let me see, I got it written down here. This is the way he put it. I got to read it because it's so complicated. One of Camping's radio broadcasts, he was asked how he arrived at a new date. His answer was a crazy quilt of biblical events and numerology. He started with the year that Noah loaded the animals into the ark at 4990 B.C., a number he was based on carbon dating and tree rings. Then jumping forward to 2 Peter, he read aloud, "One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Camping then said that the 7 days that Noah spent loading the ark was really 7,000 years. So Noah was 7,000 years loading the animals into the ark, according to him. He then added 7,000 years to 4990 B.C. to arrive at 2010. But he added one more year because he said there's no year one in the Bible. So this is how he did it. He came out to 2010, 7,000 years from the time he figured that Noah went into the ark. 7,000 years brought him up to 2010. But if you know anything about B.C., they would refer to the years 1 B.C., 2 B.C., the years count up backwards down to 1. And then from 1 went up again. But the year 1 was the same year, was B.C., and there's no year 0 or anything, you know. So the 1 was, so he figured he had another year to compensate for that. So he came up with 2011. And he figured out through, I was reading some other things, he figured out through his interpretation. After reading the Bible, he said, in prayer and meditation, he discovered, he said, on May 21st, in the year 4990 B.C., which would be our May 21st in that year, he said, Noah entered into the ark. So 7,000 years from there, he said, is when Jesus is going to come back, because Jesus represented the ark, and his safety is in the ark, and Jesus is going to come back. That's where he built his, you know, his theology around. And as I said, he did this a number of times over the years. And but anyway, I just jotted down some different things, took some different things from the internet last night. Atheists, here's some of the, see, here's the danger about it. Us people that know the Word of God, got some understanding about it, we're not going to get thrown off by it. Somebody comes on the scene late, you just generally laugh at it and think the man is crazy anyway, you know. And we just bypass it. But the sad part is a lot of people in the world looks at this and thinks that Christianity is crazy. I was looking at CBC the other night, and this, I can't pronounce his last name, George Stramalopoulos or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? And they were making fun of it, you know, and making fun of all Christians, you know, because of what's going on. And you feel like shouting back to them, saying, listen, not all Christians believe that way. There's just a little minor group somewhere that, you know, the same thing as this guy the other day burned the Quran and stuff like this. You know, just little fringe groups off by themselves to do these things, but it brings a bad taste in people's mouth concerning all Christianity. And that's the danger about it. But this is an atheist, or the atheists take on the end of the world prediction. In Wichita, Kansas, hundreds of atheists took aim at those who predicted the end of the world on Saturday. Their opposition is not at those who believe in God or even Judgment Day, but with those who make risky predictions on when that day will come. For weeks, Christian broadcaster Harold Camping and his followers have been warning of this day, buying billboards, taking up paper ads, and handing out flyers. It's going to happen, said Camping. As Camping and his followers took their message worldwide, a non-religious group was warning others not to believe it. Predictions have been made over and over again, and they never come to fruition, said Blair Scott with the American Atheists. A group of atheists gathered at Wichita State Saturday to say end-of-the-world predictions may be made by Camping and others are dangerous to society. Then he goes on to talk about people sold their property and gave their savings to support Harold Camping and everything else. That's one. Then another one, this is another one, says, in the end, rapture believers weren't going anywhere. And then they give a big write-up there about different ones that, you know, what they had to say. Here's some more just headlines of articles. Judgment Day. Well, May 21st, 2011 be the end of the world. Apocalypse, not yet. The 9 best tweets about Judgment Day that never happened. And then another one says, the end of the world prophecy attracts followers and provokes ridicule. So you see all these different things. People are just laughing at the church and laughing at Christianity because they think that we all feel that way. We all believe these things. And but, you know, as true Christians, we know the difference. You know, years ago, and this is not new for people to do stuff like this, and you know that as well as I do. Years ago, back in 1843, there's a fellow named William Miller. And I mentioned this a few months ago when we were talking about the end time events. But William Miller, after studying the scriptures and everything else, and he figured that he had an answer, he figured that Jesus is going to come back on, I think it was May the 14th, 1943. Now, I might have the date wrong, but I know the years, right? 1843, 100 some odd years ago. 1843 came, that particular day came and went. And then he started going back over his things again. Oh, he said, we're out by 1 year. Maybe the same year that camping figured he was out too. We're out by 1 year, he said. So he decided it's going to be this particular date on 1844. Now, 1844 came and went, and nothing happened. The only thing that happened, there was a meteorite shower. You know, and back in those days, he never quite understood it the way that we understand it so much today because of science and everything else. And he figured, well, this is a sign from God, and he got together again with all of his followers and said, well, we figured out what happened. He said, on that particular night, he said, when we saw all the stars and everything falling from heaven, that's what he called it. He said, that's when Jesus, in heaven, went into the holy sanctuary in heaven. And he said, he's starting to judge the sins of the world. And he's going to, once he gets finished, then he's going to come back and you know, get the Christians. So, you know, they keep changing their doctrine, changing their things to try to line up. So this Miller fellow, he went on and finally ended up founding a church, which today is called the Seventh-day Adventist. This is a Seventh-day Adventist church. Then, sometime after that, one of his followers started to look at his teachings, and he figured it out that Jesus is really going to come in 1914. And he had a date all figured out there, 1914. His name was Russell. And people who followed him were called Russellites. First he called them Millerites, the ones that, you know, and it finally ended up starting the Seventh-day Adventist church. And then there was a guy named Russell, and he used to call his followers Russellites. And they believed Jesus was going to come back in 1914. And people start getting ready and start building or selling off their houses and everything else and getting things done. And 1914 came, this particular day came and went, and nothing happened. And then they all start to scrabble back at their Bibles again and say, well, now what are we going to say? Oh, he said, oh, well, he really came spiritually. You never saw him. He came, he's on the earth right now, but in 100 years, we're going to see Jesus come back and set up his literal kingdom on the earth. Well, they only got about 3 years left, you know. But then they decided, well, they start studying again, and they came up with the idea, well, we miscalculated. It wasn't 100 years. He's going to be here by the year 1925. And they built a big mansion. I forget what city it was in now, in the States. They built a big mansion for him that when Jesus came back, they're going to have this great big, almost like a palace built for him. So 1925 came and went. Nothing happened. Who do you think moved into that palace? Exactly. The leaders moved into that palace. That group also decided that Jesus was going to come in 1975. When I was just a little boy, my father had a Bible put up by this organization. And I found the Bible years after my father died, and I still got the Bible now. It was a King James Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Bible, but it was just put up by this organization. It got a stamp on the inside cover. And I can remember when I was just a little boy. I mentioned this to you one time before. I can remember Mom getting us ready, got us up and cleaned us up. It was on a beautiful, warm, sunny day. We never went to church in our lives, but she put clean clothes on us. I mean, you know, dressed us up so clean, and you know, and we were just waiting. We weren't allowed to go outdoors and play. We weren't allowed to do anything. I was only, well, this is before my father died. He died when I was 7, so I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. And I can vaguely remember, but we were all getting ready because Jesus is going to come back. The Lord is coming back, they were saying. The Lord is coming back. And I didn't know anything about it, but anyway, I was all excited because the Lord is coming back, the world's going to be all straightened out, and all the problems are going to be finished and everything else. And I can remember that, and then the day came and went, and that just drifted off out into space, you know. Yesterday, they said some of Harold Camping's people got together, and they went to a certain community hall in this town or city that you're living in, and they did the same thing, dressed up, put their shirt and ties on, their Sunday's best and everything else, and they went and they stood, they said, with their Bibles open like this, toward heaven, waiting for Jesus to come back. I guess you get pretty tired, because he never showed up. You know, now, I'm not making fun of saying he's not going to come back, but he's not going to come back in the way that they're thinking, you know, or the time that they're thinking. So you get all these different, these people that we're just talking about, the Russellites, they became the Jehovah's Witnesses that we have today. You know, and you can go on and on. There's people that use Nostradamus, his, you know, predictions and everything else, and they twist all kinds of things there, and they try to make it sound different things that are happening. And then you have, how many have heard talk of December 12th or December 21st, 2012? December 21st, 2012. The Mayan Indians. Oh, they got it all figured out. They're going to be smack on. You know, and I can guarantee you, I mean, Jesus could come on today. I'm not saying he can't come on today, but I doubt very much if he's going to show up on the day that they're predicting him. I believe that Jesus is going to come when the Father says the time is up. That's what the Bible says. Now, the Mayan Indians, they have a calendar, and they believe by December 21st, 2012, there's going to be a massive earthquake, and there's going to be all kinds of catastrophes that's going to take place around the planet, and that's the end of the world. And you got a lot of people going for that. I mean, they got a movie out now called 2012, spin-off from that. They got all kinds. You go on the internet and just type in, you know, 2012. You get 1,000, you know, sites come up telling you the things that are going to take place. There's another group that's involved. The Mormons are believing that 2012 something's going to happen. You know? And their leader, Joseph Smith, back in the 1800s, again, I don't know the name of the place, but anyway, he was praying. He said that, and an angel appeared to him, told him to go to a certain mountain, and he'd uncover some plates, tablets, gold plates with the scriptures in it. And now it's interesting, he's the only one who's ever seen them. But he had all the teachings of the Book of Mormon there. And in this Book of Mormon, you know, they had certain predictions that are going to take place and everything else. And I was looking at one of the 2012 websites, and they said the Mormons, they said, more than any other religious group out there. Now, Buddy wasn't a Mormon. He said, more than any other religious group out there, he said, saw farther into the future than anybody's seen. He said, more enlightened than any other group. And they start talking about the Mormons that was going to happen. And he said, now I don't know how true this is, and I never heard it before until I read it on the site. He said, the Mormons believe, he said, they have over 200 million names. Now if you want to trace your family tree, check in with the Mormons. Serious. You know what they do? They baptize people for the dead. They take a scripture that Paul mentioned. Paul didn't mean it to be baptized for the dead. He was referring to something that the pagans were doing. He was saying to them, if you fellows don't believe there's a life after this, he said, why are you baptizing people for the dead? And the Mormons believe, oh, we're supposed to baptize people for the dead. But Paul was talking to pagans when he said that. But anyway, they baptize for the dead. So what it is, if you all of a sudden today became a Mormon, you got to get at your family tree. You got to go back and find out who your grandfather was, your great-grandfather, your great-great-great, and all your cousins and aunts and uncles and everything else. And you got to be baptized for each one of them so they got a chance to get into heaven. Now, in doing that, the Mormons got a great record of ancestry. This is true. I mean, you know, if you want to, I know years ago, if you had, for a certain fee, it was only something small, $3 or $4, $5, something like that, but you could request from, in Utah, you could request, you know, the ancestry of certain thing. Like, if they had it there, they would send you the fish tape, or what do you call it, those little microfish, or whatever he calls it. They would send that to you, and you could, you know, use it and send it back to them again, but you get the information off that. They would do that. So the Mormons, but they believed, I think it was over 200 million names that they believe are going to be saved because they've been baptized, you know, people baptized for them and everything else. They're going to be saved, and I forget that exactly. It was over, it's something with 10% of that group anyway. But anyway, they're supposed to be. Now, again, like I'm not saying this is the truth, but I'm saying this is what they're saying on this website, that the Mormons have secretly, the leaders, have secretly built an underground, almost like a city, that would withstand nuclear attacks and anything else, because they believe that this is going to happen, this day is going to happen, and God has foreordained that they are supposed to be spared, and they got all this information, and they got it all hid away, and they're going to have their people hid away. You know, I think it's 10% of these people are going to be hid away down there to restart the planet again. And, you know, people are making all kinds of plans for this. On some of the other websites, they were saying, May 21st, 2011, they were selling supplies so that you can survive after that day passes, and everything else is going to be gone because the world is going to be collapsing and everything else, and you can have your food, and you can have, they'll sell it to you, you know. Well, a lot of people got a lot of food left over another day. But anyway, Jesus is not going to come back when somebody says he's going to come back on a certain day. So we need to understand it. We're going to look at some scriptures here this morning and just jot something down. And I never put it on overhead purposely because I want us to look in the scriptures. And if you would follow along in your Bible and mark your Bible, whatever you want to do. Don't mark the church ones. But if you got your own, mark it. And we're going to look at some scriptures today concerning what the Bible talks about, the second coming of Jesus. Okay? First of all, there's two people mentioned in the scripture that the Bible talks about that were raptured, besides Jesus. I mean, we know Jesus was taken up to heaven there in Acts chapter 1. But there's two people that the Bible refers to that were being raptured or taken back into heaven. First of all, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was one of the fellows, the Bible talks about back in the Old Testament, that Enoch was with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the Bible refers to Enoch as a man that was being translated into God's presence. Bypassed death, never died, and went directly to heaven as one of them. Another guy, if you go back to 2 Kings chapter 11, or chapter 2 rather, verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, in this passage we have two prophets. One fellow was an older guy, Elijah, and he had a sidekick, a younger man that he was training called Elisha. So you got Elijah, Elisha. Okay, now these two fellows were going along, working together in ministry. And the Bible says a day came here in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So we have two fellows. We have Enoch, we have Elijah. These are two people that were translated, we could say raptured, went into heaven, and are still there with the Lord today. Now, the rapture of the church, as I talk about, a lot of people laugh because of people like Harold Camping that comes up with all these ideas and those predictions and everything else. And I tell you this, if you ever come across a group, anybody comes and knocks on your door, and everybody, you know, or you hear it on the television, or you're in a service sometimes, and people are trying to set dates and say, this is when this is going to happen, this is, you know, Jesus is going to come back on such and such a date, and stuff, get away from that church. Okay? That's not preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, if this fellow lived back under the Old Testament, this is a false prophecy. False prophets were taken out and stoned. You know, so we could look at a fellow, as I said, this is not the first time he's done this. He started this back in the late 80s and 90s and everything else. Every few months or every year or two, he's got this thing. And now he's come up with the idea. Last night they mentioned, he talked about, I don't know, it was 2062 or 2060. I'm not sure what it was now, that maybe it would happen then. You know, there's a lot of evidence that it could happen then. So he'd be long dead and gone by that time, so he wouldn't have to answer for it anyway. But, you know, they keep changing these dates and setting dates and everything else. Jesus himself told us no one knows the day nor the hour. So nobody's going to know that. Anyway, what did Jesus say about his timing, the timing of his return? I told you to turn to Mark chapter 13. Let's go back there again. Mark chapter 13. Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when these things shall be fulfilled?" He's talking about, you know, he's talking about the end of the world. If you read back in Matthew chapter 24, he talked about the same thing. We look at that in a few minutes. Jesus answered and began to say, "Take heed," or be careful, in other words, "take heed that no man deceive you." Now, what happened yesterday to a lot of people? They were deceived. Remember one of the things we talked about, the signs there back a few months ago when we talked about the end time events? One of the signs that was mentioned over and over and over throughout Scripture is deception. 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 There's going to be a lot of deception in the last days. There's going to be a lot of things going on. Not only in the church world, there's going to be deception on the outside. People saying, "Well, you know, we've gone beyond that. Now we don't need to believe the Bible anymore because science has proven this and that and everything else. We don't need God's word anymore." And there's going to be a lot of deception in the last days. It's going to get people to turn away from the truth, the Bible says. And the Bible says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many is going to wax cold." In other words, because there's so much sin in the world and so easily accessible, a lot of people are just going to cool off with their experience with God. And we're warned that's a deception, and be careful for it. So Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Down in verse 32. In the same chapter, Mark, chapter 13, verse 32. Now notice this. He said, "But off that day and that hour," he's talking about the day when Jesus comes back and when he sets up his kingdom and all these different things, the end times. He said, "Off that day and off that hour knoweth no man." So Harold Camping is a man. He doesn't know everything, obviously. Jesus said, "No man." So anybody on the planet, if I stand up here someday and say, "Listen, I got to figure it out. Jesus is coming back on such and such a date and such a year and such a time," don't believe me. Okay? Jesus said, "No man is going to know that day or the hour." Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, disciples said to Jesus, they said, "Will you at this time set up your kingdom?" And Jesus looked at him, he said, "That's only in the Father's hands." He said, "It's not for you to know." So no man is ever going to know the day nor the hour when Jesus comes back. So no matter if it's now or 10 years down the road, or if we're dead and gone, some of you younger ones here, somebody 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road say something like that, just ignore it. Okay? That's not God's word. Jesus said, "No man knows." Or woman. Or young people. I remember years ago, back in, maybe in the 80s, somebody said there was a baby born somewhere. And when the baby was born, I forget exactly what he said now, but anyhow, it said, anybody remember that story? I can't remember all of it now. But you know, it's supposed to give a date or something, or a time when Jesus is going to come back or something. And everybody got all excited, because how would the baby know that? It must be from God. Listen, there's another God out there too, with a small g. Okay? No one knows the day nor the hour. No one. No man. Now notice what Jesus said. Not only does no man know it, now, this may shock some of you, but listen to what he says. "But off that day and that hour knoweth no man," he said, "not even the angels of heaven knows." So nobody on the earth is going to know. Not even the angels of heaven. You think, well, the angels, I mean, you know, they're around the throne all day long. You think they would hear something about it. Jesus said, even the angels in heaven don't know. Okay, so the angels themselves don't even know when Jesus is going to come back. Now, I've heard people tell stories, and again, when people tell stories and experience that they have, you have to still base it on the Word of God. I mean, this is our foundation right here, not somebody's experience. This is the foundation. And I've heard people say that, years ago there was a story, but a fellow, now I heard of that in Toronto, I don't know, but they said a man was driving on the road and all of a sudden somebody appeared in his car. And he told him, he said, "Jesus is coming soon." This is supposed to be an angel. He told him, "Jesus is coming soon." And the guy looked at him, he said, "When?" And he said, "We don't know." He said, "But in heaven," he said, "there's a lot of excitement." He said, "Things are getting ready for something." Now, that could be true. I don't know. I mean, there's not sitting any particular date, and the angel, this particular angel, it was supposed to be an angel, never set a date. And that's okay. You've heard me mention the book Angels on Assignment, you know. And in that book, Gabriel apparently came and visited this pastor down the States. And they were talking about the second coming and everything else. And Gabriel said to him, he said, when Jesus came the first time, he said, there was a lot of excitement in heaven. He said, we're all, you know, getting ready for things. He said, in heaven right now, he said, there's a lot of excitement. He said, we're getting geared up for something else. He says, all we know. That could be true. I don't know. But the Bible says not even the angels in heaven know the day when Jesus is going to come back. They're going to be caught by surprise just as much as we are. Probably not quite as much as we are because they see some of the activities probably. But you know, understand what I'm saying. They don't know any more than we do what day it's going to be. Now, this might even shock you even more. So no man knows. Not even the angels know. He said, not the angel but chariot in heaven. Neither the Son. Jesus himself didn't even know. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus himself, now we don't know if he knows now, but when he was on the earth, he did not know when he's going to come back again. Okay, so no man is going to come up with the idea and say Jesus is going to come back on May 21st, 2011, or any other date, because no man knows. Not even an angel. Paul said, even if an angel from heaven came and gave you another gospel, he said, don't believe it. Remember that? So even if an angel from heaven brings another message, he says, don't believe it. And then he says, no man would know, even the angels don't know. He said, even Jesus himself don't even know when he's coming back. And that might shock us, but I mean, this is what the word says. Jesus himself told us that. He didn't even know himself. Going back again to what he said in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples asked him, he said, are you going to set up your kingdom at this time? He says, not for you to know. He says, that's in the Father's hands. Jesus himself didn't know. This is what he says in verse 32 again. But after that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The Father knows. As something that God the Father is put in his hand, and no one else knows what day is going to happen, only God the Father. Now, Harold Camping, he told us the day, the year, even told us the hour is going to happen, 6 o'clock. Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Anybody that knows anything about Scripture would just laugh at what Harold Camping was saying. But the sad part, as I said, a lot of the world got caught up with it, and a lot of Christians get all caught up. I remember when I was just a young fellow, there was somebody, I don't know who it was, down in the state somewhere, I'm not even sure where they're from. But I can remember January the 7th, 1970, Newfoundland was supposed to sink. And I can remember that, and because I had an uncle died on the same day, or buried on the same day, I should say. And but the big thing was on the news, was on the radio, was in the papers that were in Newfoundland. Somebody saw this vision of two men from Saturn. I don't know what that had to do with it, but anyway. Two men, they said, from Saturn came. And they spoke to this fellow, and they said, Newfoundland, they have a prophecy. Newfoundland is going to sink on January the 7th, 1970. And in the articles and everything else, and I don't know how stupid people come up with stuff, they said, oh yeah, they said, in under Newfoundland, this is all eaten out. He said, over the years, the water and everything else is all eaten out like a honeycomb, and there's nothing holding the island up anymore, and eventually it's going to sink. Well, a lot of people got all nervous about that. And I can remember now, I was just a young fellow, I was going to church, and our pastor used to, probably preaching the same thing I'm preaching right now along this line and telling us, listen, just ignore that foolishness. Just ignore it. And I had enough sense at that time just listening to what the pastor was saying, not because I knew a whole lot about anything. I was only a young fellow. But just ignore that kind of foolishness that people come up with. Okay? The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. This is God's word. I don't care what Nostradamus says or didn't say or anything else. I believe what Jesus said, what the Apostle Paul said, what the Scriptures say and everything else. I believe because these people were anointed by God. Now, anyway. So Jesus said, no man knows, the angels don't know, even the Son of God himself don't know, but the Father. Now verse 33, take heed. What did he say the first time? Take heed, be careful in other words. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not what the time is. You don't know when it's going to happen, in other words. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey and left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. So Jesus is saying, he said, the Son of Man is taking a journey. He was going to go back to heaven, in other words. You understand it? Jesus referred to himself many times as the Son of Man. He said, I'm going back to heaven. And he said, I'm giving a job to my workers. This is us, Christians. And he said, he tells them to work and commands them to watch and pray. Or to watch, here he says. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house comes. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. If it's going to be at the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing in the morning, lest suddenly he come and find you sleeping spiritually. He said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This is the only word that we have from Jesus concerning his second coming, is that we have to be prepared at all times. Some people say, well, you know, Jesus can't come back until this happens, something else. Listen, the rapture of the church can take place anytime. Okay, when Jesus comes. Now, when he comes back to set up his kingdom, yes, there's some signs that need to be put in place before he comes back to set up his kingdom here on the earth. But when he comes back for the rapture of the church, he comes back, the Bible says, and we rise to meet him in the air, that could happen at any time. There's nothing else that needs to be fulfilled for that to happen. Paul tells us that over in Thessalonians that the reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because of his long suffering, waiting. The Bible says the husband is waiting for the good fruit of the earth. He's waiting for as many as possible to come into the family of God. And when that day comes, when the Father says, okay, time's up, Jesus is going to come back. But until that day happens, we have no idea when Jesus is coming back. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, basically the same kind of passage, but just a couple more thoughts there. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be. What shall be the sign of your coming? They said, tell us what it's going to be when you come back. And of the end of the world. Now, Harold Camping says that Jesus is supposed to come back yesterday. And then the world is going to go in. Now, I don't know where he came up with this idea. But the world is going to go into 5 months. Now, the Bible talks about the tribulation period, earthquakes and disasters and all these different things. So I guess that's where he got it from. But there's going to be 5 months, he said, of absolute chaos on the earth. It's going to start yesterday. Well, obviously it hasn't. I mean, there's been chaos. I'm not denying there's not chaos in the world, but not in the scale that he's talking about. It's supposed to start yesterday and go for 5 months until October 21st, and that's when the world ends. Okay? Now, one thing, let me say this. The world is never going to end. Okay? The world itself, the planet Earth, is not going to. Now, the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. A lot of people read that wrong. They think it's just going to dissolve and be gone. That's not what he's saying. The world system that we have right now is going to change. He said heaven is going to pass away. We know heaven's not going to pass away. But the way that heaven deals with earth and everything else, these things are going to change. There's going to be a new thing. The Bible talks about over in Hebrews, how the old covenant, everything else, is all sealed up. And finally, when Jesus sets up his kingdom, he closes everything up and starts over fresh. The Bible tells us in many places, you know, there's going to be a renovation by fire and everything else. But the earth itself is going to remain. Okay, now. But let's read. They came to him and they said, tell us what these be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, again in verse 4 there, take heed or be careful that no one deceive you. See, Jesus knew there's going to be a lot of deception going on about this thing. He said, take heed that no one deceive you. Let's go down to verse 26. Matthew 24, 26. Jesus said, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, talking about himself. Now, if people come to you and say, Jesus came, and he's, like, remember, we talked about the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he's going to come back in 1914. Well, he came, but you really never saw him. He just came in a form that you really don't see him. You know, they call it the parousia, the parousial. And Jesus came back in a spiritual sense. Listen, if they say to you, he's in the desert, Jesus, don't go out and don't listen to it. He said, if they Where did I say to go? What verse? 26. Well, let's back up verse 23. I see something else here. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, he said, believe it not. Or in other words, don't believe it. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They would deceive even a true Christian. He said, behold, I have told you before. He said, I've told you this up front. He said, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. He said, believe it not. If they tell you, oh, Jesus came, but he came in a different way than we thought he was going to come. Don't believe it. You're just wasting your time. Then he goes on. He said, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, just going to be an instant. Okay? And it's going to be all at one time. Harold Camping says it's going to happen at every 6 o'clock in every time zone, 24 hours to take place. Jesus is going to be just like lightning flash around the earth. It's done. Okay? Now, let's go down to verse 36. There's a lot there, but we don't have time to read it all. That's why I'm jumping into some of the verses. But off that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, Harold Camping used Noah, the calculations from Noah's time, you know, to say that Jesus is going to come back yesterday. And a lot of people believed him because Jesus said right here, as the days of Noah. Well, he's using Noah as an example. So he's got to be right. You know, you can twist the scripture and say anything you want to. You know, let's believe what it says for face value. Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, life was just going on normally until Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, here's the thing. He said, they knew not until a flood came. Now, they knew that it was coming. Noah prophesied this and told them about it for 100 years, 120 years. He preached it for 120 years. They knew it was coming, but they didn't know the exact time. You understand what I'm saying? We know that Jesus is coming back. There's a lot of people in the world today, they know Jesus is coming back. They did a survey a while ago and asked how many people in the United States believed that Jesus is coming back. I think it was 80-some-odd percent believed that, yes, Jesus is coming back. That's a vast, you know, good majority when you consider there's other religions here that don't even believe in Jesus. So 80-some-odd percent of them believe that Jesus is going to come back. They know he's coming back, but they don't know when. We don't know when. So he said, as it was in the days of Noah, when everything was going on, they knew not until the flood came. He said, that's what it's going to be like when Jesus is going to come back. They're not going to know until he comes back. So when Harold Camping or anyone else comes out and says it's going to be such and such a day, such and such a time, such and such an hour, they know not. Okay, so let's not get caught up in that. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, one taken, the other shall be left. The two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. So he's saying, the Bible refers to Jesus, he's coming as a thief in the night. Okay, he's going to come when you least expect him. He said if a householder knew that there was a thief going to break in, say, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd be ready for him. You understand? He said, but he don't know what time he's going to come. So he's not prepared. So he said, be prepared all the time. That's what he's saying. And he said, the very same thing with my coming. He said, you don't know when I'm coming back. The angels don't know. No man knows. Jesus himself don't know. Only the Father. He said, but when the Father says go down, he's going to come. And he said, be ready at all times. That's what he's saying. You understand that? So what Jesus tells us about his second coming is be always ready. Don't think, well, you know, I can put it off and I got plenty of time because I'm only young and this and that. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's got nothing to do with your health. Jesus could come at any time. If you're healthy, if you're young, if you're old, if you're sick or whatever the case may be, it's got nothing to do with it. Jesus could come at any time. That's what he's saying. What, he said, I'm telling you. He said, but I'm telling you. He said, I'm telling everyone. Watch, because no one knows the day nor the hour. He said, the angels don't know. Man don't know. I don't know. The Father only knows. So be ready at all times. Okay. Therefore, verse 44, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's go on. I have some other things here. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians and I'll finish up. 1 Thessalonians, about two more verses, two more passages I want to read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we read about two fellows that went to heaven, Enoch and Elijah. We heard what Jesus said. Jesus said, he said, I don't even know myself. He said, but I'm just telling you one thing, is I give you a good warning. Be ready. You understand? That's basically what Jesus is saying. Be ready, because you don't know what's going to happen. Be ready. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, is what Paul had to say. He said, but after times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Paul said, don't ask me, he said, what day or what time is going to happen. He said, you know as well as I do, Jesus said, he's going to come like a thief in the night. He said, so it's useless for me to try to give you dates, is what he's trying to say. It's useless for me to try to give you dates. He said, you got no need to ask me these things. He said, because you know that he comes like a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not of the darkness, not in darkness, that ye should that day should overtake you as a thief. Now here's the thing. Paul says, we're Christians, and this again, so you got to interpret this right, because this is one of the things that Harold Camping used. This is one of the scriptures that he used when I was following some of the information he's basing his teaching on. This is one of the scriptures that he used that, as Christians, we're not in darkness. That day shouldn't catch us as a thief, unaware as a thief. But now listen to what he's saying. Ye are children of the light and children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. Now, Paul's saying that day should not overtake us as a thief. Why? Because Jesus told us to watch. He said, it's going to be like a thief to the world. The world's going to... They're not going to be expecting him, and he's going to show up. And he says, therefore, he said, be ready all the time. Be awake all the time, in other words, spiritually. You know, you understand what he's saying here. Be awake spiritually, be sensitive all the time that Jesus could come at any instant. And he said, that day should not overtake you as a thief. You ought to be ready for it. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you're going to know the day, you're going to know the date or the hour or anything else. He's saying you're going to be ready for it because you're watching all the time. You understand what he's saying there? You're watching all the time. One other passage, and we'll finish up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just go back one chapter. Verse 13. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When Jesus comes back, those that have already died and gone to heaven. And there's groups out there, the Seventh-day Adventists, again, I mentioned that a little earlier. They believe in what they call soul sleep. That when you die, if your uncle died, your aunt died, your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, they died 20 years ago, they've been asleep ever since. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Their body, if you want to call it sleep, has been asleep for the past 20 years or 50 years or 100 years, whatever. But their spirit is with God. The Bible says the dust goes back to the earth, but the spirit goes to God who gave it. You understand? So, and he said, when Jesus comes back, those that are died in the Lord, now you think they're in the ground? No. He said, those that die, Jesus is going to bring back with him, so they're already with him. He's going to bring them back with him. That's what he's saying here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when Jesus comes back. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or not precede them, in other words. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus said, concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, no man knows. The angels of heaven don't know. Jesus himself don't know. He said, but my Father only. When his disciples asked him in Acts chapter 1, they said, are you going to set up the kingdom now? Is this the end of it? Jesus said, listen, that's not for you to know. He said, that's my Father's hands. So God the Father is the only one who knows what day is going to be. Not Harold Camping, not Jehovah's Witnesses, not the Mormons, not any other group, is it, or not Nostradamus, anyone else that claims that they know, got some inside track on it. They don't know. Even the angels of heaven don't know. Jesus himself don't know. Why would some man know? So, as I said earlier, if you're living 50 years from now, some of us be gone home to be with the Lord, or just about ready to go home and be with the Lord. And you're growing up, and your children are growing up, and everything else, and somebody comes on the scene again and say, listen, Jesus is going to come back on such and such a date and such a time. The Mayan Indian says he's going to come back in 2012, and this is going to happen, all these different... Listen, believe it not, Jesus said. Believe it not. That's a good enough word for me. That's from the head of the church himself. And he said, I don't even know myself. He said, but when the Father tells me, then I'm coming back for the bride. It's like the song we sang earlier, he's coming soon. As I said, there's a lot of things, a lot of laughing and mocking going on in the world, and people that, you know, talk shows and everything else, and these late night comedies and everything else, they all make fun at the Christian world because of people like that there. Make fun at the Christian. But you see, the devil used these things to desensitize people to the truth of the gospel. Oh, we've heard that 1,000 times. You get somebody go out there now and preach that Jesus is coming back. Oh, we've heard that 1,000 times. He heard it 1,000 times. No, he's still coming back. Still coming back. Jesus, what I say unto you, I say to everyone, watch. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. When he comes, he's going to come back on such and such a date, such and such a time, such and such an hour. Jesus said, don't listen, because no one knows the day nor the hour. Only the Father in heaven. Praise God. And oh.